How does one follow a thing of beauty like that? Words fail. I'm going to end where Chika started, which, to quote him, was to prod and ask questions. But I also want to celebrate a life that passed last week, George Steiner, a fabulous literary critic. In his first book, which wasn't a question, it was just titled Tolstoy or Dostoevsky, published in the late 50s, his first sentence in his first book reads, "Literary criticism should arise out of a debt of love." I think all criticism should arise out of a debt of love. I think what we saw today was a repayment of a debt of love by all the participants. I think it was fabulous. What I should add is sitting through a symposium is also a debt of love. Those of you who made it, I thank you. I see some of you didn't. Good luck to you. You won't pass the pop quiz later tonight. Some questions. I have 12. When I arrived this morning, they were 10. So, and they've been augmented by what I've heard today. But it's strange how there's a kind of, I wouldn't call it a zeitgeist, but a set of questions that everyone seems to be asking in different ways. 12, the first, where do we begin? 2, historiography does not stand outside time. Its ambitions, its methods, its outcomes are implicated in the period in which this retrospective labor occurs. Why Mancoba now? What are the points of intersection between his time and ours? How does looking at Mancoba now dismantle or revivify our art history? Can an activist art history recuperate the past? Is our art history a ritual expression of the anxiety of influence? My third set of questions go back to the first. Where do we begin? In 1936? Why 1936? Because it's the year Mancoba refused to make wood carvings of, I quote, "natives and cattle," for an exhibition being commissioned by the Department of Native Affairs for the Empire Exhibition. Has this moment, that moment, and it's a key moment in South African art history, particularly if you think at the Johannesburg Art Gallery at the same time, a number of pariah expressionist painters were being exhibited, and it shifted the mood towards expressionist painting. Has that moment been investigated, historicized, and adequately theorized? I take my cue here from something Kemang Lehulere said in 2015, and I'm going to quote him. "A lot of people write about exclusion. They choose to write about the memory of his exclusion rather than his work as a form of protest, the fact that he refuses to make drawings or sculptures of these animals." Where do we begin? 4. Many of Mancoba's works on canvas and paper were untitled, as Same pointed out. Mancoba, I should point out, was a writer before he was an artist. Is there a permission coded into this absence of language? What is the extent of this permission? What of all these untitled works? And what of their affinity to a mesmerizing work in the National Gallery's archive, Mashekwe Langa's work, Untitled, 1995, a kind of work of the contemporary? 5. As art historians or critics or basically writers, but also interpreters or practitioners of hermeneutics, we face a dilemma. It is a dilemma posed as a question. When does language fail us? 6. What do his agitated, intersecting, and overlapping marks tell us? Are we allowed to indulge in formalist criticism? 7. Composition, 1940. It's upstairs. To interpret it through the lens of Star Wars, it looks like a stormtrooper mask painted with brick red. It was produced during the imperial reign of Duke Ellington, when people still danced to jazz. Untitled 1957, which is in the collection of the Tate, resembles, it's in a similar idiom as this. It was produced in the year Miles Davis released Miles Ahead, and John Coltrane produced his hard bop album, Blue Train. Philip Tabane had started his vocal group, the Philharmonics. What of jazz? Do jazz artists better speak the optimism, the urgency, and the mystery of Mancoba? Do they speak it better than art historians, or differently? Does it matter that Mancoba, by all accounts, preferred classical music? 8. How does critical silence, which we've been addressing today, overlap with financial value? Esme Berman, the Vasari of Santon, does not mention Mancoba in her 1993 book, Painting in South Africa. The highest selling Mancoba work at auction in South Africa is a 1936 wood sculpture titled Musician, which sold in 2015 for 613,000 rand. Who collects Mancoba? Is he an undervalued artist? Are progressive art historians simply the advance guard of the art market? 9. I'm going to quote Mancoba here. It's from his late 90s interview with Hans-Ulrich Obrist. The embarrassment, it's quite a well-known quote too, but I'll repeat it. The embarrassment that my presence caused, to the point of making me, in their eyes, some sort of invisible man, or merely the consort of a European woman artist, was understandable, as before me there had never been, to my knowledge, any black man taking part in the visual arts avant-garde of the Western world, end quote. Penny spoke about this earlier, this obsession with firsts. What of Henry Crowder, or Langston Hughes, or with Frido Lam? Are there overlaps and affinities between Mancoba and Lam? I think we had some suggestions. Does firstness, being first, really matter? 11. It's partly a response to Yaku. What do we do with the artist's voice? What fidelity do we attach to what they say? Do we allow the artist's words to entangle and infuse our readings of the work? Are the artist's words like subtitles to a film in a foreign language? What about the irreducible silence of painting? It's 2020. It's a watershed year for Mancoba in Cape Town. 2019 was a watershed year for Mancoba in Paris, in Johannesburg. There's all these watershed years. Another was 2017, when Mancoba had his first solo exhibition in the United States, in New York. He showed 4 small paintings and 20 works on paper. That same year, he had 15 works included on the 2-part editions of Documenta. Holland Cotter, who is a very fine art critic, wrote of the Mancoba exhibition in New York that his work, and I quote, thwarts easy cultural readings. Why cultural readings? Why not simply that his work thwarts easy readings? Why is Mancoba still viewed as a cultural agent in need of translation? Was 2017 a watershed year for Mancoba? And my final question, which poses a challenge to Winnie. It's a short question. What next? Thank you.